Today, we continue with our church school curriculum, Seeking Peace Together, and once again, we join them in worship, studying the same scripture text together. Today, we hear from the book of Leviticus in the Torah about the commandments of the ancient Israelites about how to celebrate the harvest festival of the booths, or Sukkot. In hearing this, we remember that peacemakers share in the bounty of the earth. Let us open our ears, our imaginations, our hearts and souls, and hear what this ancient tradition has to say to us today. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, the festival of booths to the Lord will start on the 15th day of the seventh month and will last for 7 days. The first day is a holy occasion. You must not do any job-related work. For 7 days, you will offer food gifts to the Lord. On the eighth day, you will have a holy occasion and must offer a food gift to the Lord. It is a holiday. You must not do any job-related work. These are the Lord's appointed times that you will proclaim as holy occasions, offering food gifts to the Lord. Entirely burned offerings, grain offerings, communal sacrifices, and drink offerings, each on its proper day. This is in addition to the Lord's Sabbaths and in addition to your presence, all the payments for solemn promises, and all the spontaneous gifts that you give to the Lord. Note that on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you've gathered the land's crops, you will celebrate the Lord's festival for 7 days. The first day and the eighth day are days of special rest. On the first day, you must take fruit from majestic trees, palm branches, branches of leafy trees, and willows of the streams, and rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You will celebrate this festival to the Lord for 7 days each year. This is a permanent rule throughout your future generations. You will celebrate it in the seventh month. For 7 days, you must live in huts. Every citizen of Israel must live in huts, so that your future generations will know that I made the Israelites live in huts when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." The wisdom of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Loving God, may the words of my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. And let the people say, Amen. I love a good farmer's market. We didn't have farmer's markets yet in Marshfield when I was growing up, so when I experienced my first real farmer's market in Somerville, I was transfixed. The music, the produce, the soaps and spices and honeys and cheeses, the free samples. I also remember the moment when I learned that the dollars on my EBT card were worth double at the farmer's market. What an incredible, bountiful summer that was. And then I discovered how cheap Market Basket was, and that became my grocery hub. But I still went to the weekly farmer's market in Union Square, if only to absorb the atmosphere and maybe treat myself to a scone or a wedge of some fun cheese I had never heard of before. Reading today's Bible passage reminds me a bit of those farmer's markets. The hard work has been put into the harvest, and we now have a festival to celebrate and share in the abundance. And after all, a farmer's market, especially the ones with music, definitely has a bit of a festival vibe to it. Just like in our Bible story, where everyone in the village took part in the celebration, workers, servants, landowners, you name it, at the farmer's market, you see all types as well. Farm workers and their families, elderly, parents with young kids, groups of friends and roommates, couples, people with their dogs, folks in line to redeem their food stamps for tokens. Then, just like in our own time, everyone gathered together to celebrate the bounty of the harvest in the warm autumn air. I could use some warm autumn air right now in the midst of this cold week. Anyone else agree? So as we were looking at our curriculum in our worship service, in our worship meeting, excuse me, we wondered, how do we celebrate the harvest in winter? Do we need to move things around a little bit? Well, the Jewish community celebrates the Festival of Booths, or Sukkot, in the early fall at harvest time. So how do we reconcile the rich imagery of abundance with the barrenness of a snow-covered field or a slush-filled parking lot? Perhaps more poignantly, how do we celebrate abundance when our lives or the world around us feel more like the bleak midwinter than the dog days of summer? Well, that summer and fall came and went, and with it, so did the end of my Somerville Farmers Market mornings. Gone were the weekly trips to immerse myself in my neighborhood community, listen to free local music, and sample as many weird cheeses as possible. This might just be the fallow time, the rhythm of the year, I told myself. I was just gonna have to get through the bareness of winter and anticipate the return of the market in the summer. Or was I? What a day it was when my neighbor told me that there was a winter farmer's market. And I don't know why it had never occurred to me before. Maybe it's growing up in zone 6A in the agricultural chart. Because as soon as I learned it, it made so much sense, but there are such a thing as winter crops and crop storage. Carrots, beets, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, chard, peas, cauliflower, radishes, spinach, they were all at the winter farmer's market, and there were still all the cheeses and the scones and the music and the tamale stand, and my food stamps were still worth double. Hidden away inside the Somerville Armory was an abundance just waiting to be shared. You just had to know where to look. Or perhaps you just needed someone to invite you. Now, I'll admit, using the analogy of winter crops to talk about the ways that abundance is present, even when we've assumed that things are scarce, might be a little convenient or a little on the nose. After all, what about financial scarcity? What about social scarcity, loneliness? What about the scarcity of energy and bandwidth and time in the day? If we're committed to celebrating abundance, we have to really trust that it's there. And sometimes we have to make it ourselves. The text reminds us that this festival was for everyone. Everyone was to cease any job-related work. The text says that part twice, by the way. It really hammers home the point. Everyone got to rest. Everyone got to share in the harvest. The land may belong to the property owner, but everyone was entitled to the sustenance that it produced. This kind of abundance is only possible in community. It's like that story you hear as a kid of stone soup. Individually, one family might just have an onion, another might have a couple potatoes, and another might have a few beans and so on. Definitely not enough to feed their family. But together, they have a soup that feeds the whole village. Now, I'm sure nearly everyone in this congregation has some experience of debt, be it student loan debt, medical debt, credit card debt, gambling debt, a mortgage, an IOU. Imagine being told that your debt was forgiven by a stranger. You know, there's an organization out there I learned about that buys medical debt. A $100 donation purchases $10,000 of medical debt. And they do this for the sole purpose of forgiving it. This kind of abundance is only possible through the existence of communities that live it into being. Everywhere we turn, we can see examples of how community creates and reveals abundance in the midst of scarcity. Families taking turn hosting a movie night for the neighborhood kids so that other parents and guardians can have time to rest or work or pursue hobbies or have date nights. We see food pantries and thrift stores providing dignity, nourishment, and community, not to mention a great deal. We see teachers advocating for student mental health. for fair wages, and we see communities donating to strike funds in solidarity. We see churches organizing prayer partners for one another and dinners to foster companionship and connection. You can see in your bulletin that dinners for eight are coming up. When we think abundance can only look one way, like ripe tomatoes and bushels of corn, we miss those hardy little kale shoots and broccoli stalks that are poking up through the snow. We miss the opportunities to celebrate the harvest as a community, to create the harvest. So we're going to practice a little bit. If you turn to the last page before the announcements in your bulletin, you'll see some take-home questions. I'm going to invite us to engage with those questions right now. You can turn to your neighbor or someone sitting near you, or just journal on your worship order on the Notes app on your phone. In a few minutes, I'll call us back to share. I'm going to read out loud what those questions are. And the first one is, for what harvest are you rejoicing? Where are you experiencing God's abundance in your life? The second question is, in what ways are you struggling right now? Where do you need the help of God and of others? And the third question is, who needs to be invited to this festival? For whom would you like to offer prayer today? Would anyone, I'm just going to sort of take one or two for each of these questions. Would anyone like to share what you mentioned as what harvest are you celebrating? Where are you seeing abundance? I heard abundance for having your teeth. That is, and I totally amen to that.
Yes.
Anything else? Any other areas of abundance that we've seen in our lives lately? Yeah, Kate. The enormous community that is celebrating Mark right now. Mark is one of our members who's been in the hospital for about a week. Amen to that. Does anyone like to share places of struggle where we're needing help from God or from others? Yes, Mark. Yeah, not having a lot of sunlight in winter and how that can affect our moods, needing to lean into that coziness and community. Who needs to be invited to the festival? Or for whom would we like to offer prayers this morning? And we'll get to the prayers of the people, but who needs to be invited to the festival?
Single mothers.
Single mothers, amen. Absolutely. Thank you for sharing. And before I wrap up, I also want to mention how much I appreciate that the Festival of Booths explicitly calls for the remembering, for the reenacting, in fact, of the time in the wilderness. You heard when Tyler read, you know, that God says, live in huts, because your ancestors lived in huts in the wilderness. It's very explicit. And I appreciate how amidst this celebration of abundance, there is a reminder of that painful past and of our reliance on God's provision. Because even in the barrenness of the wilderness, God provided manna to eat, enough abundance to get by each day, but not enough to allow for saving or storage for the next day, because trusting God was essential then as it is now. Our curriculum points out how this enacted memory is a very embodied practice, where we recreate that which we are trying to remember and commemorate. Now, we are generations upon generations, hundreds or even thousands of years removed from the original event, and yet we recognize that our spiritual survival relies on that memory being kept alive in a lived, visceral way. Our Jewish siblings still to this day celebrate Sukkot, celebrating abundance amidst scarcity, keeping memory alive. Later in worship, we'll be celebrating our own embodied practice of remembrance when we gather at the table for communion. In our own reenactment of the Last Supper, we keep alive the memory of abundance in the midst of scarcity. On a night filled with betrayal, shame, and fear, we remember how grace, love, and mercy emerged victorious. We remember how Christ offered the cup of forgiveness even to Judas, who had by then already made a deal to turn him over to the Romans. As explicitly as the text this morning tells the Israelites to live in huts because your ancestors lived in huts, we are told to remember and trust in God's love as often as we eat or drink. As often as we eat or drink, we are told to remember and trust in God's love. We're told to remember that no matter how barren the landscape, literally or figuratively, God's abundant love and abundant grace overflow before us. And that is something worth celebrating. Amen.